When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Curry in his bag.
I know my energy will never die. I need my inner peace and peace of mind. I'm making history with all the guys. I am not satisfied with getting by. For the momentum.
The Warriors have responded.
The past don't matter. We just got to raise our level of intensity. You know, they raise theirs. We got to raise ours.
It's not getting any easier. It's only getting tougher. So, got to take that up another couple notches.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, here's a question. Let me throw this out there right now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Because the question was asked in the last segment, how many more Super Bowls will Aaron Rodgers win? I said one. You guys both said none. What superstars are done winning titles? Any sport. Superstars done winning titles. No more for them.
Mike Trout.
888. He never won one.
888. And he's done. He's
729. He'll get traded to the Yankees. He'll be fine. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can also hit us up at Key J and Max. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So an ongoing question in these finals is, does Game 6 Klay show up? And in what game? Well, does it have to be Game 6?
Say it's Game 3.
Will he show up in Game 3? Here is Klay Thompson himself talking about how he gets out of a slump.
That's the beauty of playing in today's age is you can go on YouTube and you can look up all your great moments. And gosh, I'll probably just YouTube Game 6 Klay because there were some very high-pressurized situations I was in, and I ended up shooting the ball well. And when you can do it, when your back's against the wall, you know you can do it at any given moment.
So here's what Boston's strategy is, Key. And here's a stat that is really going to blow people's minds. And I said this yesterday about whenever you can get Klay to try to score off the dribble, it is a win for the Celtics. So Klay Thompson's three-point shooting these playoffs, 42%. When he doesn't dribble, is what he shoots from the 3-point line. From the three, when he does dribble, 30%. It's a major drop off. So how they get him going? You got to get him going in transition. You got to get him going easy. You got to get him with some set plays, some misdirection, where he can get some catch and shoot threes, where he can see the ball go in earlier in the game rather than late. Doesn't mean that he can't make momentum like plays that can create. You know, like the positive direction your team needs to go. But the more Boston can run him off the three-point line and force him to do things off the dribble, that equates to a win for the Celtics.
Key, Jay, what he talks about looking up stuff on YouTube. And by the way, kids nowadays, you don't even know. If back in the day, if you wanted to see, like, you know, your favorite athlete who's not playing anymore or whatever, I remember they used to play highlights of Muhammad Ali's title defenses in a McDonald's basement on certain days. Louis guys to run down there as a little kid, right? Now you go on YouTube, you see anything you want. So Klay says he goes on YouTube and watches, you know, big clutch games that he's had.
Who was chaperoning those McDonald's basement?
Yeah.
As,
I don't know. I don't even remember. Okay. Well, there was one on over on Lex. Anyway, Key, what did you do to get yourself out of slumps?
You know, I really never – I mean, because football is different. I depend on the coaches and the quarterback, offensive line, the other receivers to do their job and for them to throw me the ball. But because I never had a case of the dropsies. I wasn't a – you know, I had glovies. But what I did have – what I did have was an issue my first 2 years in the NFL where coming out of college, you get 1 foot down.
I remember this. Yeah.
And you're good. That's where the mark is at. In the NFL, you need to get 2 feet in bounds. And so what I would do, because I'm tall, I got long legs, my first year, I screwed up a bunch.
It was muscle memory. You just put that 1 foot down, and it was like it was good.
Yeah, and so I screwed up a bunch of conversions on third down, second down, whatever the case may be, for first down, because I put the 1 foot down and I take this long stride, but next foot bounces out of bounds. So Todd Haley was my receiver coach at the time. And so my second year, when he became the full-time receiver coach, they went and got these mattress-type things that they would lay out on the out-of-bounds line, Jay. And so we would just, after practice, stand there and go dead leg, bam, and I just fall. Bam, without looking down at the ground, I just catch it, and automatically just boom. And so over time, that wasn't an issue. For my next 9 years in the league that I played, I probably was the best at the sideline toe touch.
Key, how long did you have to do that before that just became secondhand nature?
Man, like, I probably did it the whole year after practice. So it really didn't start to – it started to kick in, but then I became a master at it my third year. I was ridiculous.
That's like a kung fu flick. Pull up the YouTube, dog. That is, you know what I mean? You see a dude hanging upside down and someone's like throwing plates at him or something in the kung fu flick, and that's how he learns a certain technique. That's the same type of thing. You put a mattress down, just dead leg, boom, down, and then
It was interesting because even when I wasn't near the sideline sometime and I was felt like I was in the back of the end zone, but I wasn't near the back line, I would still go dead leg because it just was in my mind,
Mind, yeah. I know a lot of times in college, my first year in the league, we didn't have shooting machines back then, Key. So it was typically like those late nights where you come into the gym, but we had a crazy amount of managers. And they always, like when you go to the gym and you want to lift weights and you put on 135 and you just rep it out. You know what I mean, Key? Like, you're not doing it for like massive weight. You're just repping it out. They would literally have a ball in the hands of the manager and it would keep coming to you, keep coming to you. And that's what I heard that Klay Thompson's been doing. There's a machine out there called Shoot 360. I did it when I was down in Memphis when we were down there for our affiliate 92.9, where literally it's a shooting machine, but it measures the angle of trajectory that you have on your arc, right? And it gets you to your optimum arc. It also measures where the ball hits the rim. So the percentage amount of times that the ball hits the left rim, to the right rim, to the front rim, to the back rim. And they always say you should be back rim on your shot because you look at the back rim for your shot. So what I've been hearing is that over the last couple of days that Klay has been repping it out at a high max degree on that Shoot 360 to try to get back. And you could do things because it moves, right? The machine moves with you. You can do things off the move. You can do catch and shoot. You can do things off triple handoffs. It, like, the technology is so next level these days.
Nuts.
That for a guy like Klay, that's how you get out of a slump. You go back to the thing that you've done the most, and that comes back to your repetition. And so that's where I'm curious to see how Klay transitions that into tonight. And that's why the sooner you can get him off in the game, in transitions, things where he can see the ball go in, that's where I think he'll play at a better degree.
Jay.
Yeah. I'm just breaking it down, Key.
You know, I like
you're the worst, man. This dude. Somebody, Yates, come get this man.
Oh, crazy, dog.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Which superstar is done winning titles? You guys say Aaron Rodgers. What does Albert in Florida say?
Hey.
What up, man?
What's up, Albert?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I actually was going to go ahead and say Aaron Rodgers as well, but I wanted to kind of mix it up a little bit and say, I think, in a sense, all the selfish superstars, more so, we know who they are, the guys that are more so, let me get my money, I'm going to go to the big market and play. That's not winning anymore in sports in general, whether it be basketball or football. You look at the last couple championships teams, whether it's Milwaukee, that was a team that was built, hey, we're going to stick it together. Now look at Boston, look at Golden State in the finals. Hey, we're going to stick together. We're not going to go play with our buddies. We're not going to go team up and just get our money. Those teams aren't winning anymore, even in the Rams. It's not about like just single players. Like,
yeah,
hey,
this is what Jay has been talking about. That like it starts with culture. You can still pick up a superstar, but you had like the way the Warriors did it. You can do it. Or if the Celtics were to pick up a guy, but that's different than just throwing a couple guys together on a team.
I didn't really understand what he was saying. He was kind of muffled. He was saying that superstars go somewhere to get their money.
That the way you win no longer is a couple superstars getting together, right? Just jumping, getting the dough, putting it together. It doesn't work anymore. I think that's probably right.
I don't think any superstars have jumped to go get the dough, though.
Well, not to get the dough, right?
Yeah, that's because why, they get that's dough why I was anyway. Confused. Yeah, I was confused on that one.
But it's like even when LeBron went to Miami, like D-Wade and Chris Bosh were already there. So it wasn't like, you know, two or three superstars.
Well, no, D-Wade was. Bosh came that, like.
Bosh came with him. With him. Ray came.
That's true. With, yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that was that was an exception because it's a Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra culture franchise.
But we just won in L.A. two seasons ago. We got AD. He came.
No. So it has worked in the recent past, but it seems to be shifting. Like LeBron
that was
and
2 years ago.
LeBron and AD got together. By the way, KD and Kyrie and James Harden would have done it too if they didn't get hurt.
They got injured.
I don't know
right?
the shifting.
But that's part of it.
I mean, CP3 went to Phoenix. They got to the World Championship.
They didn't win.
And that was one guy. The rest of them were homegrown. Yeah. He just one guy went. That's all.
I think the Lakers are the exception that proves the rule in this case. They did win a championship doing it that way. They traded all their young assets basically for AD, and they brought in LeBron obviously already. But that's the exception. It seems like when you try to do that, the odds are not as good as if you just add that piece when you have the culture going and
it
the
just
piece
seems like
already
this
there.
Is all catered towards LeBron. It's all catered towards LeBron. Right?
What is that, catered?
I mean, the fact that we're talking about guys joining championship teams has all been
LeBron
going
to win another championship?
Like, man, we have to go to break.
One superstar is changing teams, and we're not sure when we'll actually see him play again.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The NFL doesn't want to hear about any other incidents post facto.
A new lawsuit filed Monday against Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson alleges Watson has engaged in, quote, a disturbing pattern of conduct, unquote.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. And we are joined now by Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, guys. What's going on?
I just can't help it. Whenever I see Jeff with the palm trees in the back, it's like he's showing off a little bit, that whole backdrop.
He does it every time.
That's exactly what I'm doing, Max.
He lives this way on a day-to-day basis. What am I doing? Where am I?
It's why aren't there palm trees outside? He has a suit on. He has an AC on inside. It's Florida life.
All right. Listen.
No pants. And no pants. No pants. Let's be honest. Geez. Zero pants.
Jeez.
Jeff, I'm going
to
read.
You wear pants to work?
Well, he always has his toes out in when he's in L.A. All right. I'm going to read you some stuff from the New York Times, Jeff, get your reaction. Yep. According to the Times, Deshaun Watson, Browns quarterback, Deshaun Watson, saw at least 66 massage therapists over a 17-month period. He booked massage appointments with at least 66 different women over those 17 months from fall of 2019 through the spring of 21. According to the Times, the list includes the 24 women who have filed lawsuits against Watson. So additionally to those, you know, not just those 24, there are another 42 that with whom he booked massage appointments with. The Times also reported that the Texans gave Deshaun access to hotel rooms for massage appointments and provided him with non-disclosure agreements. The Texans declined to comment on the NDA, but said in a statement that they first found out about these allegations against Watson in March 2021 when the first lawsuit was filed. What are you hearing from around the league, Jeff, after the latest Times report?
Well, I think, Max, with what is obviously a very complicated situation with Deshaun Watson, you have to find a way to separate two things here. And it's not to suggest that either one is really on a great track right now. But one continues to be the criminal side of this and the civil lawsuits that remain open. Now 24 women alleging misconduct by Deshaun Watson on the civil side of it. And then, of course, on this other track is the NFL's investigation. It's very difficult to wade into the legal side of this, especially considering two grand juries have decided not to pursue charges against Deshaun Watson. But on the other side of it is the NFL. And part of the reason, you know, continually we wonder about the timeline of potential discipline and the investigation that's ongoing. Well, part of that is that the NFL in the past with some of these investigations has had regrets about information surfacing after they ultimately levied their discipline. And in more recent investigations, they've been very careful to not be preemptive with their discipline measures. They've decided very deliberately that they're going to stay on their own timeline, their own investigation, and come to their conclusion when they feel like they have all the information. This is a perfect example of that. A 24th lawsuit now filed against Deshaun Watson. The NFL now has the opportunity before it levies discipline to look into that as well. So when we wonder why the NFL is taking so long and quote unquote dragging its feet, this is precisely that reason.
And they should, Jeff, take their time in this situation. I think when this situation is so serious that you want to make sure that you get everything right and you hear everything from everybody, both sides. Clearly, you want to hear from the women. You want to investigate it thoroughly, because when you are up to 24 women having filed a lawsuit against you, and that becomes something very serious. Now, all of a sudden, you're up to 66 massage therapists over a 17-month period of time that he saw. Now you also got an NFL club involved with supplying hotel rooms allegedly to Deshaun. And now you start to have to dive into that. NDAs are involved. I've never in my entire professional career has ever had to sign an NDA whatsoever at all under no circumstances with anything having to do with any team or any ball club that I ever played for in the National Football League. In fact, when it was time to get a massage through the team, it was typically done at the facility after practice or on the road at our hotels in the room where all the trainers are at. So this is a little puzzling to me. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it to really understand how the Texans would even be involved at all, get themselves involved at all with a player setting things up for them.
Yeah, and Keyshawn clearly also creating questions about their level of awareness when it comes to 66 different massage therapists over a 17-month span. To your point, you know, I think there's a public reaction for those that for some reason want to defend Watson before everything comes out to say, hey, he can do whatever he wants. To your point, I've never spoken to an NFL player, and I've spoken to hundreds over the span of my career, that has ever hired that many massage therapists in any capacity. It's definitely worthy of our attention, and certainly something that doesn't necessarily go along with the normal practices of an NFL player.
Jeff, I've gone through 10 plus surgeries coming back from my accident. I spent my whole life pretty much training as a professional athlete. I've had three massage therapists. Three. Like one at Duke, one in the NBA, and then one outside the NBA that still works my body to this day. So just to add to your point, that the team providing him with NDAs, that's interesting to me. Like I would have my own team, my own lawyer, my own manager provide me with an NDA. I wouldn't have the team do that. I mean, look, that's a lot to dive into. But I am curious to get your opinion, Jeff, on how the Browns are now feeling about their decision. You can make the case that maybe nothing has really changed them from 22 to 24. But, I mean, the largest guarantee in NFL history. But now these accounts keep coming out. What are you hearing about how the Browns are feeling about their decision to buy into Deshaun Watson?
Well, you know, again, what continues to feel uncomfortable about this whole situation is when you consider, okay, the NFL continues their investigation, and that feels appropriate. the Browns essentially said, no, we felt like we did a pretty thorough deal here, dove into this as much as we felt necessary, and were comfortable signing him. And not only signing him to a contract, by the way, but let's also point something else out. The first year of his contract, of this massive guaranteed money, is essentially, you know, a little over $1 million. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that if Deshaun Watson is ultimately suspended, which many expect that he will be, he's not really forfeiting much money at all. The contract is structured in a way that essentially it plans for a potential suspension. The Browns have said that that's not the case. It was more of a bookkeeping situation. But ultimately, if Deshaun Watson is suspended, he will not be forfeiting very much money at all. So in some ways, the Browns don't have to say anything. They've already sort of showed it with some of their actions.
Jeff Darlington with us, Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. All right, guys, look, there's no easy way to do it. That's a very serious subject, but there are more subjects we want to get to, so we're going to continue to follow the Deshaun Watson situation as more news comes out. Let's play Hot News or Not News, guys. Hot News or Not News. You ready, Jeremy?
I wasn't ready until the music dropped. Drop, 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 drop.
Now you're ready.
This is sneaky hot news.
Hot news!
Hot News or Not News time. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Aaron Rodgers says he will definitely, that's a quote, finish his career with the Packers. Hot news or not news?
I mean, I guess it's hot news only because we've spent the last 2 years wondering that very question. It doesn't feel like that anymore. This all seems a little bit anticlimactic, really, to be honest. The Last Dance was nothing more than the Last Dance for Devontae Adams in a Packers uniform. But sure, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time saying that he's going to finish his career with the Green Bay Packers, I'll go ahead and say it's hot news.
It is hot news. The fact that Tom Brady retired, unretired, and now he's going to get a massive, reportedly $375 million to go into television once he retires. Do you think Aaron Rodgers will try and follow Tom Brady in those footsteps?
Oh, I love that. I love that, Key. I love that thought process.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, he'd be very good at it, by the way. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys that, like, he says he perks your ears up when he has his press conferences. Nobody really dives into the game quite like Aaron Rodgers does, so I'd be into it.
Yeah, I think it's hot news. I'm just curious, you know, if you want to retire there, your deal is still structured year to year. That makes it interesting. It creates a lot of questions and drama around each year
when it's done. And leverage, I mean? And leverage at the, you know, for his next job. I love Key's point. You see Tom Brady get $375, all of a sudden, you know what? It pays to kind of be universally liked. Yeah, sure, I'll finish my career here. I'm not worried about making headlines for keeping you guys wondering. Bears lose OTA practice for on-field contact violation. Hot news or not news, Jeff Darlington?
Not news, honestly. I mean, like, I guess it's significant. We should care. But ultimately, this is kind of inside baseball sort of stuff. This happens from time to time. And it's not great. It's a violation of the CBA. Players don't love it, but you see discipline as a result. But I'm not really too into it. I'm going to say not news.
Yeah, it's not news at all. It's not that big of a deal. You lose an OTA practice. What do they actually do? They're not taking guys down to the ground. I mean, what do they do, run into somebody? But this is what probably happened, guys. Is some poor guy who knows that he's probably not going to make it to fall camp probably dimed him out.
I'll say it's hot news from the player perspective. You know why? We get the day off. I'll take a day off. Great.
Yeah, not news. Sean McVay says OBJ crashed his wedding, and Odell, quote, knows the expectation is you come to the wedding, you got to sign with the Rams. Jeff, hot news or not news?
You know what? Like, not really. It's fun. Fun news, right? But I'm going to say it's hot news from this perspective. Like, the dude's a free agent. We're all wondering where he's ultimately going to sign. Yes, it feels like the Rams are the front runner in that Odell sweepstakes. By the way, it's not like he's going to be on the field anytime soon. But, like, it's very clear that Odell has a really good relationship with his head coach. And you know what? As we continue to wonder where he's going to sign, that's hot news. I'd be surprised at this point if he signs anywhere other than the Rams, given his relationship with an organization that, by the way, put him in the best situation he's been in several years.
It's hot news simply because he crashed a wedding. And you would think that I won a Super Bowl, which you do. Could I get an invite? But that wasn't
get a
the case.
Invite?
Yeah, OBJ is probably going to sign back with the Rams. Most likely that's where he's going to go. They know more about him right now and in his career than anybody based on his injury. They're rehabbing him. He's doing terrific. I look forward to him signing at some point in time.
Yeah, I would go with hot
news. You ever crashed a wedding before? I crashed a wedding once. You guys ever do that?
I showed up
to the wedding.
Reception.
In a hotel ballroom?
Yeah, reception.
Yeah, reception. Wait, no. Right.
Wedding crasher, no.
Nobody wants to crash a ceremony.
Hold on, no. Jeff. Tell me how you crashed a wedding. I need details now.
I mean, like, literally, we were just hanging out, and there was a wedding going on. We met the guys earlier at the bachelor party was at a restaurant. They were drinking. We found out where the wedding was. Seemed like a fun time. Everybody was having a great time until the bride realized that we were there. Like, everybody else was into it.
What are those guys doing here?
And she shut it down.
By the way, what are those guys doing here? And the groom is like,
a slice of cake.
Yeah, and the groom is like, no, it's okay. They're having fun. And then he started to realize, uh-oh, here comes married life. Get them out of here.
That sounds like married life.
Okay, guys, right. You got to go.
The guys have no problem with it. The bride, you're not on the list.
Yeah.
Get them out of here. Get used to that.
Throw your friends out.
By the way, as I'm walking out the door, though, I got myself a little cake, you know? Nobody has cake anyway, so what's the big deal there?
Jeff, Debo Samuel attends but doesn't participate in mandatory minicamp. Hot news or not news?
You know what? This is hot news. Look, the guy requested a trade, and this does not say that this does not guarantee anything in terms of where his future is with San Francisco. But ultimately, you know, this accomplishes two things. The first of which is it avoids an $88,000 fine, and people want to say, hey, that's chump change compared to the contract that he's potentially going to get. Maybe Debo disagrees and can think of some good things to do with $88,000. The second thing is it opens up a dialogue, and this is probably the more important thing for 49ers fans. This is a fractured relationship between Debo and the 49ers. Him showing up allows a dialogue to open up to potentially repair that. So, yes, it is hot news, even if it ultimately isn't as big of a deal as maybe it feels on the surface. Mm.
See, Dan, Jeff, it's not news at all. You mentioned the money. He's on a second-round contract.
That's right.
He doesn't have time to give them money back. He doesn't want to waste that money no matter what the future may look like. What if he doesn't come to an agreement with the 49ers? He needs to be able to live. I'm not giving him a dime back. I'll come in the building. No big deal.
That's right.
Thank you, Jeff Darlington, making us all feel bad about wherever we are because he's in a better place somehow.
All right, JD.
All right. That is Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL Insider. As always, thank you, Jeff. Okay.
Can you remember those parties, Key? Were you dancing so hard you just be sweating for no reason? Came from doing a Zumba class.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speaker. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at progressive.com. So,
Jeff.
Jeff?
Who you made the call?
Dan? Who?
You call Jeff Dan?
Yeah, because we talked to Dan so much.
Yeah.
Orlovsky.
See, yeah. Dan.
No, Dan
Graziani.
One
we
syllable
played,
name.
Dan who?
We played a game. Graziani.
See,
Dan.
Graziani. Dan Graziani?
Yeah, I call him Graziani.
Graziani. There's more than one of them. Is that plural for Graziano?
I say Graziani.
Key, that's why he's got to make up nicknames for people. He's like, oh, hey, D.
I'm Italian, man. What you think?
So, Key, I teased it. It's a tease in the business. I said, Key says there's an NBA star.
See how he set you up, Key?
An NBA star.
No, because I'm going to clean it up real fast. I know that game.
So, apropos of nothing, here is LeBron James on the shop trailer. Listen to this.
Of the teams left playing, which one would you want to play for?
Yeah, they'd be Golden State. I would love getting into a pissing match with Draymond. I love when somebody cuts me out.
All right. So.
Max, are you implying that Key is.
Matt, let's ask Key. Okay. He's right here. Or 3,000 miles away, but right here. Key?
Yes.
What do you think about LeBron James, first of all? Does he have something in common with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, yeah, because he's a superstar. And superstars in certain situations got to stay relevant. Even though LeBron James is one of the biggest superstars in the world, you still want to keep your name out there. You still want to be out there. It's perfect time, although he's doing shop where it's part of his production company, executive produced it, the whole deal. He's talking about playing for the Golden State Warriors. Who's in the championship? The Golden State Warriors. So you having this conversation, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to start talking about it. What do we do when Aaron Rodgers talks about something? The first thing we do, we start talking about Aaron Rodgers because he said something. So LeBron James does have that on par with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's nowhere near as egregious as Aaron Rodgers when Rodgers does it, but he's a superstar. So that's what happens with superstars. They like to keep their name out there in situations because that's just what it is. He's not necessarily hijacking the playoffs or the finals, so to speak, but we do know where he's at. We are talking about him. He is taking our time away from talking about the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Boston Celtics. We're mainly focused right now on this particular conversation about LeBron James wanting to join the Golden State Warriors if he had his opportunity to. That would be a team that he would play for.
LeBron
See
James,
how I clean that
yeah,
up?
Yeah, you clean that up quick, Key, which is smart. LeBron James ain't going to Golden State.
No.
LeBron James staying in L.A., and yes. For me, as a hooper right now, like honestly, I feel like at times I'm really tired of talking about the Lakers, Max. Like, Key, they ain't nowhere close to the NBA Finals.
But it doesn't matter though; it's the Lakers.
It does matter because
you talk. Let me tell you,
I've heard this story before. I've heard that LeBron wants to play with Steph Curry. I've heard it before.
Yeah.
Like, it's taken up too much of my brain capacity back then. I ain't going to let it do it now.
You can't hold that thought for a second and then think of something else?
It's not deserving of me holding the thought, Max.
But
what's
deserving
of me holding the thought, Key, is talking about what's going to be with who the next superstar is if Jason Tatum or Steph Curry win the championship and the culture that they built, not LeBron James.
Is LeBron done winning titles?
But look, there's three teams in professional sports. Your ass going to talk about whether you want to or not. Mm-hmm. Number one is the Lakers. Number two is the Yankees. And number three are the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Whether you want to or not, those three are always going to be discussed no matter who plays on their team.
I don't mind discussing it, but at what rate I discuss it, I can choose that. So, like, my thing is, like, if we're talking about Darvin Ham getting a new job, okay, cool. Like, that's a monumental thing that's happening for the Lakers. But LeBron James saying out of the teams that he would like to play for, like that's a catchy thing to get your attention. That's a shiny object. Like, I'm not doing it.
If it's Duke, by the way, you put Duke on that list.
What are you doing right now?
Yeah.
You're doing it, Jay.
You're doing it.
No, you're doing it.
You're doing it.
You said LeBron James. I didn't say LeBron James. You were talking just now.
You just said LeBron James and Aaron Rodgers being relevant superstars.
But
you just
said LeBron James out of your mouth, and you said you were not going to do it. You're doing it.
And by the way, expand it to college, Duke and Alabama.
Not the same.
What do you mean?
I'm saying brands that you wind up talking about.
I'm talking about historically, no matter what.
No matter what. Yankees, Cowboys,
right
Lakers. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
No matter what. Yep.
But this is my thing. Is that look?
And man, when you talk about players,
I'm going to sound like the grumpy old man here, Key, and I know it, and I'm cool with it. I'm with it. All I'm saying is, we've already discussed so many times. Would LeBron James go to Golden State? What would it look like? Oh, he has this infatuation with Stephen Curry. So, like, now we're going to take up more time discussing it again? No.
If he keeps sounding like a grumpy old man, they're going to kick him out of the metaverse. That's no place for grumpy old men, Jay. You're going to have to give back your NFT. Is that something?
Your lack of knowledge around that subject matter is shocking.
Let me get that NFT right back.
You know, you make Jay mad when you start poking fun at him.
He's a grumpy old man.
At least just use the terminology correctly. Damn.
Yes, the universe, the metaphor.
There you go, Key.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, guy tells me how brilliant he is all the time. Bitcoin, doesn't seem brilliant
crypto,
when he talks about the metaverse.
All that. Computers, everything.
How will the officials handle Draymond Green after his Game 2 comments? That's after Jay has this from Straight Talk.
Oh, Straight Talk. I'm talking about the Celtics and the Warriors.
I'm going to make you hand in your NFT. You keep this up.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
You either have to completely ignore Green, his antics, and his disruptions, or we're going to confront him every single time he runs his mouth.
Nobody's paying to watch this stuff to see guys get thrown out of the game and you not see the game you want to watch.
You do have to be diligent.
No,
or
you don't.
Somewhat, man,
no,
look.
You don't.
Okay.
No, you don't.
So,
you got to be who he is, Jay.
What? Tell him, Warren G.
The best part of this whole song, it's a tad bit late. now they're yelling and they're screaming. It's a tad bit late. Mr. Warren G. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. You know who I got into this song? You know, remember Brian Kenny?
Yeah.
Right. And he does MLB Network now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Brian. I had Brian grooving to this song. Back in the day, we were doing Friday Night Fights together. Brian Windhorst with us now, ESPN NBA insider. Wendy! There he is.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Wendy? How you doing, brother?
Wendy, what do you expect?
I'm on the street in Boston. It's game day.
Oh, we have a live delay, boy. Wendy, what do you expect from tonight's Game 3 when it comes to how the Celtics handle Dre and Draymond Green and his antics, for lack of a better word?
Well, yeah. First off, we're going to hear in probably about an hour and a half who the officiating crew is tonight. And I expect Scott Foster to be named the crew chief, not because of anything that happened in Game 2, but the normal rotation. Scott Foster usually gets Game 3 so that they can bring him back in a Game 6 or 7 if they want to. And, you know, Sheriff Scott Foster is going to take control of this game tonight if indeed he's the crew chief. And the second thing is, I think the Draymond technical stuff is massively, and I'm going to say it, again, massively overblown. Draymond doesn't get that many technicals relative to that many games. There's been 18 playoff games. He's got four technicals. He had 14 technicals in the regular season. Jason Tatum had 13 technicals in the regular season. Okay, this game was not decided by Draymond pushing Grant Williams or a little technical foul or whatever. It was decided by the defensive strategy changes overall that the Warriors made, and the turnovers that the Celtics had. So I think the crowd will be into it. It'll be the crowd versus Draymond tonight. But this is not going to be about Draymond Green getting a technical foul or whatever.
But, Wendy, I would disagree with you slightly, because I would say I think one of the reasons why it is massively overblown is because Draymond went on his podcast and he spoke about it. It's almost like he brought more attention to it because that created another layer of narratives that the media discussed afterwards. So I am curious if Scott Foster is going to be the lead referee tonight. You know, does that create a little bit more of a predetermined, like, hey, we're going to make sure that those antics don't really happen as much to kind of hinder anything getting out of control?
Yeah, I think Scott Foster, if he is, know for sure yet, if he is, I think he's going to set the tone that he's not going to put up for shenanigans. He's going to want straight basketball. That's just going to be the way it is. That's the way most games are. And like for yesterday, Ime Udoka said, well, I'd have gotten a double technical if I was a player. You know how many technical fouls Ime Udoka had in his 350-game career? He had 6. Ime Udoka didn't even get double technicals. This is a distraction. And with all due respect to Draymond Green and his podcast, it's a distraction. It's a distraction away from the nitty-gritty, which is, will the Celtics take care of the ball? Can the Warriors get something going for somebody other than Steph Curry? Can the Celtics, get their offense going and spread the floor back out after the Warriors bothered them a little bit with their defensive changes? I really think that the Draymond technical stuff is a complete, second or third level story onto what's actually determining this series.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Wendy, I am curious, you talk about who is going to be that second player to get things going offensively. Obviously, you have Wiggins, you have Jordan Poole that came on late in game two. But Klay Thompson, 4 of 19 in game two. There's an incredible stat that off catch and shoot threes, he's shooting around 42%. But when he's doing things off the dribble behind the three-point line at 30%, how do they get him going? What's the latest around how Klay Thompson arrives to the NBA Finals from a shooting perspective?
Yeah, I think he was forcing some shots. I think he felt the need to get into the action, and he took a number of contested shots that are not normally a part of the way he operates. And really what kind of happened in game two, and look, the Warriors won the game, so ultimately great on them. But they won the game because they created 33 points off of turnovers. When the Celtics have 15 or fewer turnovers in the playoffs, they're 13-2. When they have more than 15 turnovers, they're 0-5. I think in the broadcast tonight, we should put in the corner a running number of the Celtics turnovers. The Warriors won that game because of the points off turnovers. And the reason they needed those points off turnovers was because they didn't get Klay and Wiggins involved. And so they need to go back to their motion offense in the second half. Steph won them the game, and you give them credit for that, but they had to go to straight high pick and roll. They weren't able to run their motion because they couldn't get, Klay wasn't effective. The Warriors are at their best when everybody's touching the ball's moving around, they're passing, relocating, and it's Steph and Klay and Jordan Poole and Wiggins. I think those are the factors that you'd like to see tonight. And Klay doesn't have to score 30, although I'll point out, he had 32 in the closeout game against the Mavericks. It wasn't like he has to go back 6 months to where he has to find a quality performance. It could very easily come tonight. I just don't think the way that the Warriors played offense in game two is going to be effective enough to carry them through this series.
Tremendous stuff, as always, from Brian Windhorst. Thank you, Wendy. Live from Boston before game three
of
the NBA Finals. I love that idea to keep a running tally. We should do that in all series, right? Like, find the key stat and then have a little tally in the corner. Anyway.
Well, we'll do it for tomorrow.
We'll continue to get you ready for the NBA Finals. Game three tonight. Ooh, we're going to break it all down. That's next on ESPN Radio. Yates, this is where I get caught with about an extra 10 seconds too long.
Just keep...
And Sirius XM...
Filibuster it out, Max.
Yeah, just...
Channel 80!
What are you going to do for the next 5 seconds?
Jeff, after this...
Jeff...
1,000 points of light.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.